going to, was not going to be able to attend. I haven't heard anything from Steve Jensen, and he normally does send an email if he's not coming, so I just don't know about him. I got the recording running, so Chris, why don't you go ahead and take it?
Okay, it's 6:01. I'll call the meeting to order. And so the first up on the agenda is approval of minutes of last month. Anybody had a chance to review those and like to make a motion to approve or not?
I wasn't there, so I can't do that. But I did have a question about those. At what point is that appropriate to ask about the what went on in the last meeting?
Good question. That was probably a good time.
Oh, okay. The one on Oak Knoll, the approval of the oaks to be removed under duress, that one kind of confused me.
Us as well. And from my recollection, we had a lot of discussion about that. And ultimately, what was it? Was that the one Casey Rowland had to report in on?
No, it was a different tree company that I think may have been Beaver, but there was an arborist report. You know, and honestly, Kat, that remark about, quote, under duress, I actually included almost as a joke, and truly that should have been deleted. And in fact, perhaps the motion should entertain that we do remove that from the official minutes. It was a really long and arduous deliberation. You know, the first time we looked at that application, there was nothing. It was, I want to build a house, let's take everything down. And the supplemental materials, you know, please either Eric or Chris step in if you'd like. My understanding of sort of the consensus that was formed was that while the arborist report was a little weak, it was a professional arborist, and there was some deference to that. So, you know, there was rotting in one and the other one had a lien. So that whole application is a little bit odd, frankly, because we don't see a whole lot of vacant residential land that's being asked to remove trees. It's much more common that we see an application in concert with like a physical and environmental constraints review, where, because, you know, all
that's
of those
you,
steep lots.
Talking,
now we can so. Hear you guys. We can hear you, Eric.
We can hear you, Eric.
Get their sound.
So mute go. That so they don't hear us.
Maybe you can mute him. Oh, there he goes. Okay, he's muted now. Yep.
So that was really kind of about the end of what I was going to say about it. I'm not sure if you have any questions.
It wasn't
about
an easy one.
I can't hear you guys. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Thumbs up if you can hear me. You can hear me. I cannot hear you.
Is this the same computer you've used before? Oh, he can't hear me.
Here's a sticky note I use a lot.
This is always the way it's done.
Yeah. What's this say? Is your speaker? Yes. Yeah, it's right here.
Yeah. I can get out and try to go back in.
Okay. Okay.
I don't know.
Volume up.
I can't quite see it. Yeah, volume up. Yes. I'm gonna check out and then check back in and see if that does it. I'll try that. Okay.
Yeah, it looked like a tough one.
Yep. It was, but I think, yeah, in the end, they saved a couple of the big ones, but yeah, it was less than ideal for sure. Any talk of in-person meetings yet? Probably not.
So, you know, I haven't heard anything. Okay, now we're seeing Eric twice. That's interesting.
Okay, now I can hear you.
Okay, great.
Great.
It looks like you're logged in twice, but that's fine if it's working. Great.
Okay, yeah, it's working. I don't know what happened.
All right.
Okay.
I'm sorry, I was distracted. Was I trying to answer a question of yours, Kat?
In-person meetings.
Oh, so, you know, I think I think just like we got into this situation, we're going to come out of it in the opposite fashion. So I would anticipate that we would see council move first and have advisory commissions follow. I think one of the things that we've been discussing at the staff level is how is that going to work? Because I'm speculating anyway that there may be some people who will want to continue to participate via Zoom. And then the question is how do we manage both, right? Because having a Zoom meeting is hard enough. Having a Zoom meeting where one box has five people in a room and the others are remote is really, really hard, especially to make sure that you continue to have engagement. And it, so, you know, the city has been cautious this entire time, you know, following state and county guidance. We're still in technically the, I know it feels like the pandemic's over, but we're still technically in the high risk rating. And I wouldn't expect to see the city start to pull that back until we drop to the lower category, frankly.
Not there yet.
Nope. All right.
All right. So anyway, so still in the minutes. Eric, I don't know if you've got a chance to review. I'd like to make a motion since you and I were the only ones there that are present. I think you should keep the under duress, but I guess I can make a motion too. I make a motion to approve the minutes as written.
Fair enough.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Motion carries. Yeah, so I guess that's on back to you, Aaron, with the community development liaison.
Sorry, just trying to keep my notes going here. So I guess I really gave you a lot of my updates just then. One other thing that comes to mind is next month, July, you guys are going to be staffed by Derek, because I'm going to be taking my first vacation since I've been hired here. So I'm taking the week of July 4th off, and I didn't realize that it conflicts with Tree Commission, and Derek has generously offered to step in and be your staff liaison on for that one meeting. So I won't be seeing you next month. And that's about the only thing I really have to offer in terms of an update.
Good for you.
Have a lovely holiday. It'll be good to see Derek again too.
Yeah, I will.
Yeah.
You're talking like 3 years without a vacation? Is that what you're telling me, Aaron?
Well, I've taken, you know, a day off here and there to have a 3-day weekend, but I have yet to take a full week off. So,
good for you.
Yeah, it's going to be fun.
Yeah.
Well, I guess, well, before we get launched into these, you know, we can rearrange. I guess I'll make a motion. I need to rearrange the agenda a little bit here. We have Charlie Mertz here for the first planning action, which does make sense. But then Kenny Anderson here from the Unitarian Universalist Fellowship, which is the street tree removal, if you guys are okay doing those one and two, so Kenny doesn't have to sit through the whole meeting. Maybe I'll just start in and read our process here and hope Asa shows up in the meantime.
Yeah, and just about,
technically we're good. We have a quorum. We can move ahead.
We do. One thing I just like to say real quick, though, is Kat and Eric, I don't know if you saw the email that I sent moments before this meeting started. Hopefully one of you has that script teed up.
Yeah, I do.
Okay, terrific. Thank you. Hey, Asa.
All right. Okay, so I'll just read our procedure here. This is the time and the place for the Tree Commission review portion of the land use public hearing. If you wish to speak at the hearing, please keep your comments and testimony limited in scope to issues, comments, or concerns pertaining to the landscaping and trees. The following procedure will be used at this hearing. Number one, the public hearing will be open to those interested in stating their positions regarding the matter to be considered will be invited forward to speak. During the public hearing portion, all who wish to give testimony regarding the specific application are encouraged to do so. If you wish to speak for, against, or comment in any way, please come forward to the table at the appropriate time, give your name, address, and make your statement. Two, at the beginning of the public hearing, staff will present its report on the action and conditions of approval. At this time, commissioners will have the opportunity to ask staff questions. Thirdly, after the staff report, the applicant and applicant's representative will have 15 minutes to present the proposal. The commissioners may ask questions of the applicant without affecting the 15 minutes allocated for the applicant's presentation. Next, other members of the audience will be allowed to speak regarding application and shall be limited to 5 minutes each. Those wishing to testify shall be called forward and give testimony. Fifth, the staff will then be given an opportunity to respond to any question of the commission or any matter that has been raised. And lastly, the applicant will then have 5 minutes of rebuttal time, after which the public hearing portion will be closed. So, and on this first one, I've obviously involved with this one, so I will recuse myself. Are we talking about officers later on? Can we get an official vice chair or new chair? But who wants to do it?
I'm happy to do it.
All right. I'll see you in a few minutes.
Okay, I'm going to go ahead and put you in the attendees room.
Okay.
All right, planning action, 255 Maple Street. Planning action, tree 2021, 151, 255 Maple Street. Owner applicant, Canopy for Cabin 6 LLC. Description, a request for approval to remove one 13-inch DBH pin oak for the property at 255 Maple Street to enable a complete upgrade to the landscaping for Oasis Eye Center. The application includes a report by an ISA-certified arborist and explains that while the tree is in moderate health, the tree has been repeatedly topped due to overhead power lines. Staff report?
Yeah, so the only item I would say about this is, as the letter indicates from Canopy, it doesn't rise to the level of being a hazard. It's not uplifting sidewalk. It's not causing damage to a building or creating any of those kind of hazards that we would typically do. And then that leads you to the non-hazard tree criteria, which are tricky because normally, you know, when you really read the non-hazard tree criteria, the first one, it really suggests that it's to allow development, right? Which, you know, and so it feels like there's that we may want to consider the commission, we may want to consider it sometime using this as a case study for why the non-hazard criteria might need some massaging, because, you know, and so this puts you into a tricky position, because if you're going to make a finding that it is a non-hazard tree, we need to make sure that we're looking at that criteria and passing the straight face test that it actually is. And you know, so if we have a situation where, okay, it's not a hazard tree, but it really doesn't seem to meet the criteria of tree that is not a hazard, it sort of speaks to the fact that maybe that criteria needs to be adjusted. Other than that, you know, it is obvious that the tree is in poor form. It's also obvious that the landscaping is going to be a vast improvement from what's there now. The line that comes to my head is what Chris said at a previous application about, you know, right tree, wrong location. I mean, having a conifer under power lines, it's going to have bad form over time. That's about all I have to say on the application. Charlie from Oasis Eye Center is here. I've promoted him to be a panelist and would ask him to speak in favor of the application if he wanted to.
Yeah, hi. I'm Charles Martz at 255 Maple. And, you know, this is in a healthcare related area. And so those communication lines where the trees are going right through, I have some concern about that as well. So, and we're constantly having to cut around those as those encroach upon the sidewalk. But we're putting in new trees, as you said. We're vastly improving the landscape, and hoping that it'll be a much improved situation than it was before. That's all I really have to say.
Okay, thanks, Charles.
You bet.
Couldn't we consider that development would fit the criteria for non-hazard tree removal, because it is part of landscaping development on the property?
What does
development mean?
So are you looking at the criteria right now, I presume?
No.
Okay. So the first criteria for tree that is not a hazard, it's a little bit unwieldy. And what it says is the tree is proposed for removal in order to permit the application to be consistent with other applicable land use ordinance requirements and standards, including but not limited to applicable site design, site development and design standards, and physical and environmental constraints. And I've often struggled with that because the way I've been told to interpret that is for the application to be consistent with other land use standards. And like what that basically suggests is that the application is to do something, maybe to develop an ARU, maybe to build a new house, et cetera. Mm-hmm. And the tree is being removed because of that application. And so when you're evaluating a single tree to be removed, right? And I suppose a slightly more generous interpretation of that criteria would be landscaping is allowed. The landscaping they're doing is going to far exceed our standards. You don't need a permit to do landscaping. And so it's a hard way to jump there with the way that's written, right? Mm-hmm. I'm not trying to suggest that you shouldn't approve the application. I just want to make sure that we're all being clear about the criteria we're applying to it.
Mm-hmm. Hey, Charles, are you still listening?
Yes, I'm still on.
Do you guys have any plans on, I haven't looked at the full application here, do you guys have any plans on what you would plant in that area underneath the...
Let me go get my wife. Vivian? We have a design by Lori Sayer, and she has specified a variety of trees. Maybe you can comment as to what trees are being put in.
There was a suggestion of a hornbeam, which is, I guess, kind of like a little oval-shaped tree that doesn't get too tall, so it won't encroach into the power lines. We could add another crepe myrtle. We've got some crepe myrtles going in already.
Yeah, I see three crepe myrtles on the plan.
Yeah, those have been planted already. And so we could add a fourth. I don't know. We could always just ask her for more suggestions of whatever is fire-wise and, you know, on the Ashland. I think isn't there on the Ashland? I thought there was an Ashland list of approved trees for under power lines.
There is a street tree list on the city's website, and they recommend different species dependent on whether power lines are there or not. That's correct.
Right, and so that they're also not having to get cut down to allow ambulances and, you know, larger trucks as well, just so the branches aren't having to get maintained by the city.
Okay, thank you. Do we have any other questions for the applicants?
Okay, then I'll go ahead and put them back to attendee.
Kind of the way I'm feeling, I don't really think we have to do any drastic changes to change language to make it easier for us to approve trees. You know, I think a lot of the safeguards in the way the ordinances or tree commission is designed is essentially to protect trees. I think we have, like, it was a couple months ago, there was a couple pears that were kind of like, there was no reason to remove them. You know, they're kind of below Safeway there on East Main, but they're like, look, we just want to put in something better. In the long run, it's going to be better. To me, this is an example of that. And
another example would be that dead Indian, the airport landscaping where those trees, that's another very similar example.
Yeah. And I think obviously in every situation, I don't think it's appropriate to be like, oh, you want to put in something better, we're just going to trust you, go for it. But when it's clear that a tree is being mutilated consistently, it's obviously the wrong tree in the wrong spot. Or, you know, I like pin oaks. I really don't like pruning them because they're super dense and gnarly. And the more they get hacked, the denser they get. It's more of like a bramble. And So, you know, I don't know, Eric, how you feel about their choice of what they want to put in there, but I think anything else that's not going to get mutilated consistently is going to be a net win for everybody.
I think that I actually bid this job a long time ago and I didn't get the bid, but must have been too high. But anyway, that tree is just ugly. And it's in bad shape. It needs to be taken down, replaced. It's not going to get any better. It's just going to, like you said, they're going to have to keep hacking into this thing for its duration. And I mean, Lori Sager knows what she's doing. She knows the city. She knows what trees to plant there. I'm perfectly all right with approving the application.
Okay.
Me too.
I make a motion to approve the application as submitted.
Second.
Yep.
All in favor?
Aye.
Yeah, I think all of us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Sounds good. I'll get Chris back in here.
I think especially considering those communication lines and the proximity to the hospital, it just makes really good sense.
It's just the wording about that first criteria. It suggests, and so that was the only reason I wanted to make sure we were given that the appropriate attention.
Yeah.
And I thought the main thing with the approving the removal of a non-hazardous tree is essentially that the removal would not decrease the tree diversity and canopy coverage within 200 radius.
Yeah. So
the
criteria that I read was the first one. And then it goes on to negative impact erosion. Then it's significant impact on densities, species diversity, et cetera. And then it goes on to talk about not reducing density. So it's kind of an odd section.
Like it has to meet all of those criteria before it's okay.
Yeah, it's correct.
Okay, cool.
Meets all of the following criteria, correct.
All right, sweet. Do we got Chris back?
Yep.
Sorry, I was muted. I don't wonder, too, if that's part of why we have this panel, right? That there's always going to be a bit of subjectivity and nuance to it, and we've got a panel of experts that can maybe help usher that through, but or make a good judgment call.
Yep.
All right. Well, let's move to the street tree planning or street tree removal permit on 4th Street. So we'll call to order planning action tree 2021-00154. It's at 87 4th Street. Owner applicant is Rogue Valley UU Fellowship. This is a request to remove 3 dead and dying slow-growing evergreen trees. These trees were part of the approved landscape plan for the church under the original planning action. Further, all street trees, regardless if they're dead or not, are required to secure a removal permit. Anyway, anybody have a chance to look at this one or needing to abstain? We'll do one at a time. Anybody have a chance to look at it?
I had a look at it on Google Street View, and the photos seemed pretty self-explanatory.
I swung by as well, but okay. We have a staff report, please, Aaron.
The only thing that I would remark on about this, and this has come up a couple of times, because I fall into the trap sometimes of remembering that dead trees are exempt, but we don't exempt dead street trees. In this particular case, even if they were on private property, though, it's hard to say because they were part of the approved planning action that also sort of makes it be a regulated tree. So one way or another, we probably would have looked at this. The photos, I think, speak for themselves. And probably the most of the conversation would want to focus on mitigation.
Kenny, welcome. Thanks for coming. Did you have anything to add or present to us?
And
there you go. Let's see. First of all, thank you very much for the opportunity to remark. And also thank you for what all of you are doing for the city. We really appreciate that. Let's see. When we first encountered this, we were obviously not well aware of the regulations. We didn't even realize, as I suppose you run into this fairly often, that the the resident owner of the property has the responsibility, even though it's regulated with city compliance. And then I will confess to being rather surprised, if not astounded, that you regarded an overgrown Alberta spruce as a tree. But I'm not going to argue that point. I think you have been there before, and we want to play ball with you any way we can. As I speak to you, we're actually not entirely certain of what we want and need for the space. And certainly we wanted to remove the dead and overgrown Albertas. They're also in planters, which I understand requires a separate permitting process. In order to come up with some kind of compliance that you might suggest, we hope the permit is to you in order and that we can move on in some fashion here. And then secondly, if you know, I know of the regulation, for instance, it requires a high percentage of shade, and those are for very good reasons, I suppose. I have much to be educated about the aims and legislative intent of the Tree Commission and so forth. But if you wanted us, we could remove those and then plant something nice and native, easy to grow right through the sidewalk space like that, like an amelanchier. Native, take care of itself, attracts the birds. So that's one thought. Originally, we had thought, gee, it might have been nice to have nothing there because, you know, they are in planters. They were landscape shrubs. And we have to facilitate the egress and entrance of all our members as they come and go there. So that had to be a consideration. So I'm sure you'll have some ideas of how we can improve the spot and obviously remove the trees, the shrubs that are there, and comply with your interests.
Great, thank you. So, yeah, if you guys are okay just having Kenny hang out, we can have a discussion here because clearly the trees need to go. Yeah. We'll get to that. But so I'm curious, Aaron, about the planters. It's kind of a unique thing. Is there a process they have to go through to remove those, or are they required to keep them? They have X amount of trees per frontage space, or how does that work?
Honestly, I'm not entirely certain. If there's concrete work being done in the right of way, it's going to require a permit from Public Works. That's for sure. Mm-hmm. Kenny, was your intention to remove those and just have it be a well at the level of the sidewalk?
Yes. Thank you, Aaron. We thought, barring any requirement that we replant shrubs there or something by the city, we were concerned that people would, of course, trip over the planting border there, the concrete planting rim. Yep.
Yeah, what's more common to see nowadays, like you see downtown, is for it to be level with the sidewalk and then have a grate around it. And so I could certainly assist, presuming that the application gets approved, I'm more than happy to assist you with Public Works to get the concrete permits to do that. And, you know, it sounds like they're requesting to put shrubs there, in which case the dialogue may need to be about mitigation plantings elsewhere on the property. Or perhaps you give deference to them being such dwarf trees that maybe they don't need to be mitigated by a large stature tree. I'd leave that to your discretion.
Yeah, it seems like they barely qualify as a tree to me, but
it was a tough one. It was, and when on the fence, you know, we like to go the right way.
And it's in the right of way, technically, right? And
so, correct. Yeah. Correct.
Yeah, you guys are gonna have that, and we kind of hesitate, Kenny, to be your consulting landscapers and arborists as far as a whole lot of specific suggestions. But yeah, you could put more tree in there if the well was gone, you'd have more root zone. But
good.
Yeah, I think Alberta spruce. I think spruce sounds like a tree to me, even if it's small. But
yeah,
wouldn't do an anchor because that's, although it's drought resistant, it needs a lot of water in the springtime. That's a serviceberry.
Mm-hmm.
Even a smaller
tree would be nice in that spot. And even just one tree, just spitballing one tree for the three shrubs, I would be comfortable with.
Yeah, something that's decorative year-round. It's such in a really visible spot. I'm very fond of paperbark maples myself, and I think they're really beautiful. They provide a little shade. They're very slow-growing and easy to maintain, but it would be nice to have a little bit of shade for that broad expanse of concrete that you have out on the front apron there, just to keep, you know, in the interests of reducing the amount of heat on the street and providing shade for people. Sometimes you're waiting at events. I've stood outside the UU church there and waited for events, and it can be pretty dang exposed from sun and rain. So something that would eventually provide a little bit of shelter would be nice. And
okay, that's great. Because now I really am beginning to understand what you're looking for.
Yeah, and you mentioned canopy cover, and that's definitely a goal of street trees. And so I think, mitigating with one good shade tree, the paper bark maple is a great suggestion from Kat. That would be nice in there. Any number of other street trees or trees.
We would like that. You know, I was thinking if it could be something more native, you know, perhaps we could kind of baby it with some water and so forth, because there's a business of irrigation up in the sidewalk and all that stuff, you know. So, you know, we would kind of baby it year and a half while it put out roots. And then some of those selections that are natives, they'll kind of take care of themselves afterwards, you know, with a little bit of maintenance, but
yeah.
Anyway, so we wanted to be fairly low labor and relatively maintenance free. They're not all maintenance free, but I understand.
Yeah.
Now, I imagine that amount of concrete, sorry, Acer, is going to generate a lot of heat in the root systems and stuff. So whatever goes in there is going to be under quite a bit of stress until it generates enough shade to really be cooling the area around its roots. So I would say you'd be babying it for quite a few years.
Oh, uh-huh.
If you really want it to survive. That's a lot of concrete and heat, but I don't know. I'm not an arborist. I'm the lay person on this committee, just from my own experience. Trees don't like to be in the dead center of a lot of concrete.
Is it a concern by the commission that it could actually lift the concrete?
Not if it's planted properly. Eventually it will. Eventually they all will, but.
Then we'll.
We'd have.
In 20 years, we'll see.
A few decades of shade and something.
And they can stay there too. You just say I have to prune the roots every once in a while, which rarely happens, but.
Yeah. Oh, there's such little work. You know, most of our members, myself included, are in their 70s. Yes, we would have to pay for services. I'm saying, you know, in that, by about 3x3 space, there's such little room to work, you know. And maybe you don't even have some suggestions, and I don't want to bog the meeting down with, I'm concerned about, I think we'd maybe take a Sawzall to try to just clip the roots out and to clean it out good and get some nice organic material in there to grow something else.
Yeah, or even and removing some concrete. The more soil volume you have, the better the tree will be, and we think everything, but... More soil, less concrete. But I honestly think, Kenny, I mean, the recommendation would be to go to a good reputable nursery or work with a landscaper or arborist. And nursery would be your easiest, and any knowledgeable nursery person could kind of point you in the right direction of a good street tree native, if you like.
We love working with Plant Oregon. By the way, you know, I served on the tree commission of Eastford, Connecticut, beautiful little town up in the northeast corner. Yeah. And, And I had a tree farm in that town running a landscape crew. And so I dug and moved a lot of trees. Don't get involved doing that, by the way.
Well, we've got some vacancies on the commission. We're looking for new members.
Quick, make a motion before he leaves.
This is a plot and I'm co-opting you.
Well, so
please apply.
So you know what you're doing then, Kenny.
Well, I'm actually not familiar with a lot of the plant material and the growing conditions out west. It's very, very different here. And so I'm going to listen to really what you're going to urge me to do. And I love working with Plant Oregon. They treat people really nicely, and they got great plants to grow. And I love natives anyway. So
They'll take care of you.
Yeah.
Plant Oregon is a great place to go, and tell them your situation, and they'll get you something really nice to put in there.
If there's a good native that'll survive that spot, they'll have it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. I've got birches and other trees on my property that I just got from them this year, actually. So I'm very happy with it. Yep.
Nice. Well, good. You guys okay to make a motion?
Yep.
I make a motion to approve the application as submitted and recommend just one mitigative tree for the removal of the three small trees/shrubs.
Second,
yeah.
All those in favor with show of hands? Motion carries.
Kenny, are you still there?
Yes, I am.
I would like to give you my contact information. If you're going to be the contact person to be dealing with the removal and the concrete work.
Right, thank you.
Do you have a pen and paper handy?
I do.
So my phone number is 541-552-2052. I got a busy day tomorrow, but call me anytime next week and we can discuss getting you in touch with Public Works and getting you the approved permit, okay?
Fine, I will do that. And you're the staff person for the Tree Commission. It's ASA?
No, my name's Aaron Anderson. And yes, I am.
Sorry.
You're looking at the other window. That's all right. And I look forward to talking to you next week.
Okay, well, thank you so much for your help and we will be in touch.
Thank you, Kenny. Appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for helping us with the permit.
Absolutely.
Okay, let's go back to the top here. This is the second of the type one reviews. It's planning action tree 2021-00152. I do have a slight conflict of interest on this. No money is exchanged hand. Haven't been hired. I went and looked at this at the request of Carrie. I've also worked for the neighbor on another property of his. Again, haven't been hired for anything. I just kind of gave my two cents on it. Happy to sit it out. Totally up to you guys.
I personally would like to have your insight on the situation with the uplift.
All right. I'll call to order planning action tree 2021-00152. This is at 1675 Ashland Street. The owner is Columbia Care Road Apartments LLC. Applicant is Carrie Kincairn. So the request for approval to remove a single big leaf maple, Acer macrophyllum, at the property address at 1675 Ashland Street. The tree had previously been approved for protection associated with the site design review approving the Columbia Care Housing Project. The application states that the reason for removal is that the tree's root system is lifting the neighbor's floor. All right, anybody, you guys have a chance to look at this? Stop by. Pictures are fairly self-explanatory. Okay, staff report, please, Aaron.
So this was a very thin application. I actually went and got the photos. I asked if there were any photos of the damage to the concrete. The applicant didn't provide any. So really all I have is the letter from Carrie and the photos that I took. So that's really all I have to present.
That's not very much.
I'm a little confused on the location. When I pull that up on the map, that's like,
it's at the newer Rogue Credit Union building.
Yeah.
There's a parking lot, and then there's been a bear lot right next to it. And I think they're building, is it affordable housing back there maybe, Aaron?
It is affordable housing. And they've had their land use approval for a while. There was a delay in funding, but they're actually getting ready to go now. And so, yeah, that was that approval. I think they got approved prior to my coming to the city. So it's been in the works for quite some time.
So this tree is kind of right along the property line with this guy's, I don't know if it's a garage or an ADU or.
It's a garage. And if you look at the photo in my packet, it's on the backside of the letter on the left-hand side. What I was trying to do there was I'm looking down the property line and you can see where that fence is. Do you see the fence?
Yep.
And so that I tried to take that photo exactly on the property line. And it looked to me that if the eastern side of that tree isn't on the property line, it might even be slightly encroaching.
Yeah, it's really hard unless you have 2 points to really run a line or something to tell.
Yeah.
That stuff, kind of stuff is so deceptive. It is very close to the building. And there are does look like there's quite a bit of canopy cover in that lot already. All these other trees are protected or, as per the other application.
That's correct, yeah.
What did you see, Chris, when you went in that garage?
I didn't, and I didn't have permission to access. And my recommendation was, well, it's not a hazard. I can't qualify it as such. The best bet is to get some pictures of the actual damage so that the tree committee can see it. It's obviously not a great placement and very close to the wall. It would help to see the inside of the garage.
Yeah.
And that, yeah, I couldn't qualify it as a hazard, but.
Well, isn't it a little odd that the neighbor's structure would be that close to the property line?
Good point.
Not really.
Not in Ashland.
There are all kinds of structures, especially in the historic parts of town, where you see them either right on the property line or in some cases actually over the property line. So that's just a feature of living in a town that started building up in the 1880s.
So they're saying the primary access door no longer operates properly due to displacement of the wall foundation and floor, and that there's a crack in the converted garage space, which I imagine maybe someone's living in.
You know what? I missed that. I thought it was just garage.
Two-foot off of the property line in the other direction between to the building wall. Why don't they just give us a bloody photo, which makes it such an easy decision? Which makes me wonder, maybe there's not a crack in the floor.
Yeah, it makes me wonder the same thing.
I mean, that's the first thing you do if you see a crack and you want to take a tree down is you take a photo of the crack. Anyway, I'm not going to say that. Don't finish that sentence. I'm getting better.
But really, I mean, I hear what you're saying.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, I mean, how hard would that have been?
Well, what I wonder
is the timeline. Sorry, go ahead, Asa.
What I'm wondering is, you know, so it looks like there's in the map L1.
Yep.
Tree protection plan. If they take out those two trees, is that going to allow them to do some kind of like utility or some kind of extra thing there? Like, is there a different reason they're wanting to pull them out? I mean, maybe there is a crack in the guy's.
My understanding is this is primarily driven by the guy at the garage with the crack.
Okay. And there's like, while you're constructing, just so you know, your tree's messing up my garage.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Hmm.
There are several larger big leaf maples there. a 29-inch, 24-inch, and a 19-inch, and this one's the 12-inch one that they're asking for removal.
I'm pretty sure they're all oaks, but...
They're listed on that tree list that Kerry...
Acer macophyllum?
Yeah.
It's been a while. I don't want to...
Your
point is there's a lot of trees in the area, and there are, and it's going to be a closed canopy.
I was thinking that when I looked at those photos too, Chris, that the ones that we're looking at all look like oaks to me, but...
Yeah.
I thought they were ashes. I'm just looking at the pictures. I didn't go there.
Well, you can see the leaves are oak leaves.
Yeah.
That's not a big leaf maple.
California black oak.
No.
Does that change the conversation at all?
Not really.
Well, a maple would be better suited for the riparian area.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Black oak grows slower. It's kind of cool. It looks bigger than 24 inches to me. Or wait, 12 inches?
What are they measuring above
that? Oh, no, sorry. That's the tree protection radius. But they're only giving it us 9-inch.
That can't be right.
It's...
All my numbers of which trees are which are all blurry, so I don't know which one's which.
Well, the one that's highlighted is tree number 6, listed as Acer macrophyllum, 9 inches DBH, but twin trunks.
Yeah, twin stems. And I think that's a little under us. I think that's a very small 9-inch or a very big 9 inches, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, but...
Well,
more I guess, like a 20-inch in my mind, but...
You know, sometimes with these large developments, you know, they come and they say, we want to preserve these trees, and then eventually every tree gets removed. And so that's kind of like, well, what the heck, you know? Because if they said that from the beginning, we'd be like, whoa, whoa, whoa.
Yeah.
So I don't think that's the situation here. So I hope that the remaining trees wouldn't get removed, but it does seem like there is going to be a fair bit of remaining trees, which is good.
But it's not like we would see it, right, if there were further.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, just like this. Yep. If there were additional removals that were requested, it would come to you, right, just like this one is.
Yeah. So so I kind of feel like, you know, if my garage was getting kind of jacked up and the neighbor's tree was pretty close and – But that's the other thing is what's going to stop all those other trees from start jacking up his garage too, you know? I mean, but I kind of feel like if it was just that one tree that was lifting up his garage, you know, I would be fine with approving the application if they come to, you know, to staff and just say, hey, here's the picture, you know, that's kind of how I feel about it. But what's going to keep those other trees from doing the same thing?
Well, they're quite a bit further away than this tree is. I would be shocked if that tree wasn't lifting the floor of that building. No matter what we do on this application, I would like to have a note to Kerry, since she's probably the one who's filled out the application, is that it feels to me like the trees have been misidentified, they've been mismeasured, and in the future, if there's a requirement for removal because of lifting and cracking, then that needs to be included in the application. This isn't the first application Kerry's run through the commission, and I'm a little surprised that she hasn't done a better job of providing that information more accurately and thoroughly.
Agreed.
But we all make mistakes. I mean, you know.
Oh, yeah. But, like, we've got trees misidentified. The measurements can't be right, and there's no photo of the crack. So, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like a inaccurate reporting.
Mm-hmm.
Seems like we need more information to approve that.
Are they under any kind of time pressure, Aaron?
You know, they haven't even started site work. I've seen that they got a grade all there and they've got the fence up. So clearly things are moving in that direction. But I don't get the sense that there's any crazy urgency at this moment, because even when they start site prep, you know, this is in the area that's within the tree protection zone. Those fences are there protecting all of those trees right now. In fact, I actually came on site from the opposite property because that entire property is essentially fenced off, and that whole line of fencing is providing, you know, protection for the remaining trees. So I don't think that if you were to decide you wanted to have this come back to you at next month's meeting, that that would cause any sort of problem.
That's what I'd like to see.
I agree with Eric, and I would like to see the errors on the report to be corrected. I'd like to, those trees do look like oaks to me, but I'm not the arborist here. So I'd like to see that the trees are measured properly and labeled properly, and photographic evidence of the cracking. That would be my personal feeling. And maybe that would provide feedback about how to submit applications more.
Just so I can be clear, the species that's identified on the plans, Acer macrophyllum, is that a maple? Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So, and you guys believe that these are oaks that we're dealing with?
It looks like.
Well, that photo that you took looks like photos of oak leaves to me, and the bark looks like black oak to me. But once again, I'm not the specialist.
Certainly looks oak. You know.
Yeah,
it doesn't look maple to me. But
or would these be in the digital form of the email that you sent to us?
Yes, they are.
The packet?
Yeah.
When I sent out the packet, there was a link to the online. Yeah. Do you want me to send it to you again, real quick?
What it was around the 28th, maybe.
You know, the easiest way might be to go to the city's webpage, and you could just go right to the tree commission page and download it from there.
Yeah, I got it. I just checked the email real quick there. Well, regardless of species, if it's a crack in the floor, would we approve?
If I had a crack in the floor, I would have no problem with it. Yeah.
I mean, you're.
Yeah, I wouldn't care about the species. I'd just like to see proof of the crack in the floor.
Yeah.
You know, I wouldn't care if it was a spruce. I mean, I don't care. You know, is there a crack in the floor? And we can't tell.
And it's like I'm 80% there, just the proximity to the wall. But it's kind of a principal thing, like Eric's saying. Well, let's go ahead and see that damage. And
yeah. So, do we want to deny it and just say, "Hey, send us a picture, and try to correct some errors," or do we just want to approve it if they prove that it's cracking?
Yeah, is there any way to do that?
Can you sign off at the staff level, Aaron? Is that complicated?
I think we've made that as a condition of approval in the past on a previous application, and I don't think there's any problem with that. And it certainly gives them an out without delaying them for a whole month, and all they got to do is get me a photo, and I can review it with the staff advisor.
Yeah.
That'd be really good.
I'm curious to see what the crack looks like, but yeah, I mean, I'm fine with staff and the mystery of the crack, you know. To me, that looks like a California black oak, although the leaf tips look a little rounded, but it's not
a white oak. No way that's a big leaf maple that's in that photograph.
But that doesn't even matter. What matters is the crack. No, it doesn't matter. It's just
it really does matter to me in terms of Kerry being a frequent submitter and providing information that's not accurate, especially with the DBH. That, I mean, I would see a 9-inch DBH and be like, well, it's not a very big tree. But, you know, if it's really 20, I'd be like, wow, that's a different consideration.
Yeah. Yeah, more so than the species. We do a lot by size around here. So, yeah.
Yeah, with the DBH, I agree. But the species, you know, but anyway, I'd like to see them just you know, go ahead and prove it, but say, hey, you know, bring some kind of proof of this crack in. And
so approve it with the contingency that they have to prove it.
Yeah.
Is that a motion, Eric?
I'm not sure quite how to say it. I mean,
so what I've drafted is to approve the application with the requirement that the applicant provide photographic evidence of the damage of the floor for review and approval with the staff advisor.
That's beautiful.
That's really good. I like that.
I second that.
All those in favor with the show of hands. Who made that motion? Is that Asa? You got pretty close.
I think Asa was probably the closest.
Yeah, I think Asa. Yeah.
I was trying to see if I could regurgitate everything.
Aaron takes a village.
All right. Planning action tree 2021-00153. This is at 459 Willow Street. Owner applicant is Willow Street Properties LLC, which is a request to approve to remove a single living pine at the rear of the property at 459 Willow Street. The application indicates that the reason for requesting the removal is that the tree poses a fire hazard, has poor form, and is inhibiting the use of rooftop solar on an adjacent property that is under common ownership. It is unclear if the tree poses a hazard and will be potentially evaluated under the hazard criteria and non-hazard criteria. Any site visits? I think I was in the right spot.
Yeah, I didn't see anything this month.
No, I didn't either.
It was hard to see the tree from the street because it was behind the house. Yeah. I mean, I'm sure I saw the top of the tree. This is one of those applications where I was actually really hoping that the owners might show up to present on their behalf. I've been working with them for a while because they've been talking about wanting to do an ARU. They own two adjacent properties, which they're living in one. They're getting ready to develop the other. You know, obviously, if this was an application to develop the ARU and the building envelope was where the tree was, that'd be a different conversation. When they sent me their initial application materials, I reached back out to them. I said, you know, you told me that there was going to be evidence of this damage to a retaining wall. I'm not seeing that. You know, can you get me some more? And then the email that was sent on Sunday on the May 23rd, and then there's the additional photos. That was the supplemental material that I got. So, you know, it's one of those things where, you know, I try to ask a client or an applicant to provide us what they can. If I don't think it's going to work, I ask for more. This is what I got. It's still not a very strong application, especially because, again, we're in the non-hazard criteria, I think. I don't think there's anything in the application showing that it is presenting as a hazard tree. You know, he brings up solar. If he had a concurrent application in to put solar on, I could see that as working a little better with the with that criteria in mind. But that's about what I have to say on this application.
Why are we seeing it? Because of the lot size?
That's exactly right. It's a single family lot. And what the language says is if it's a single family lot and it's not capable of further subdivision, or if it's more than twice the minimum size or otherwise incapable of subdividing, okay? And now that last clause, or otherwise incapable of subdividing, can be really tricky because the configuration of this property is such that, and there's enough square footage that you could probably partition it. The reason I say could and probably is that it would be an uphill battle. We have a requirement that you can only have three private residences access off of a single private drive. And currently there's a property and there's two more properties behind it. And those two already take access from that private drive. And I was trying to get myself into a place of leaning on that to say, oh, well, by virtue of the access limitation, it's otherwise unable to subdivide. But the fact of the matter is, if an applicant was really wanting to go down that road, there are variance procedures, etc. So yeah, this is one of those applications that's kind of on the bubble, because it isn't super clear that it could subdivide. And when there's sort of that fuzziness, again, I'm going to lean towards, let's go ahead and take a look at it. But yeah, if that property was, actually, let me look at, tell you what the property size is. 459. So the property is 0.45 acres. So that works out to 19,000 square feet. We're in a zone where you need a 5,000 square foot lot minimum. And so it really comes back to that access thing. In fact, here, just to show you guys what I'm looking at, you should be seeing my screen now. Is that correct?
Yep.
Yes.
So this is the subject property right here. And there's a single driveway, and then it serves these two houses back here. The applicant owns this house and also that house. And what's interesting is that what the code says under the definition of a lot is that if you have two lots that are adjacent to each other and are common ownership, we can consider them a single parcel of land. So what I'm trying to get at is this lot could be smaller, and we would still be in the position of looking at it because he owns the property next to it as well. And so then we look at them as one tract of land, right? But yes, to your point, Chris, the reason we're looking at this is because the parcel is large enough to maybe subdivide.
And could you point out where you have the map up, the approximate location of the tree?
Absolutely. You can see the shadow that it's casting here. And yeah. I believe its location is right here.
So there were, what I saw were three trees there, right? There's two pines of the same species right next to each other, and then this one kind of by itself, the one furthest north.
Oh, you know what? I think I was pointing to the wrong tree before. Yeah, there's these two, and then there's this one, and I think that's okay. The subject tree.
I was looking at the wrong one then. I was confused.
And I mean, it truly is not a terribly well-developed application. And there's also certainly no time pressure on this. So if you guys don't feel that they've met their burden, we can certainly revisit it.
Yeah.
Well, go for it, Eric.
I deny the application and ask for better information. I mean, it's really unclear to me. I mean, all of us are pretty unclear about this. I mean, I don't want to just go let somebody take a tree down, you know, and we don't even really know. I mean, we need to protect trees, you know, I don't know. Just.
Well, and the language, you know, it's a potential fire hazard. Well, that can be, it would potentially be useful if we wanted to develop that area. It's concerning for possible disease. There's a lot of like hypothetical stuff, you know, like, you know, they said in 2 to 3 years, they're going to put on a new roof, at which time they're going to do solar. That makes sense. There's no solar now. At that time, they could remove it. You know, they want to plant some other plants. You know, they could prune the tree up, although now is not the right time to do that. You know, same with fire, they could reduce the fire potential by pruning it up. Everything is either hypothetical or deal withable at this point.
Yep.
And some of the stuff they bring up makes sense too. And also looking at the picture, you know, not to be the devil's advocate, but the top of the tree looks like it's kind of maxed out. It's lost its, you know, excurrent growth, you know, its main leader, it's starting that phase of just kind of going, whoa.
Yeah. None of the ones I saw there back there had great form, but you could definitely prune it to mitigate the fire. Probably not going to fix the form, but.
I get super frustrated with people who want to remove dead wood or a tree because it's near a dead wood fence.
Yeah, because of
it's
fire.
It's like, yeah. So you'd prefer to die by this method than this method. It's just, it's all dead wood. Don't use that as an excuse to remove a living tree. Just prune it properly and, you know.
Yeah, that comes up a lot. People say, give us an assessment on this tree. We really want to remove it because it's a fire hazard. The fire department told us. And it's like, yeah, we've got 2 feet of dry leaves under your deck with a barbecue. And that cedar fence is basically like kindling, just sitting there.
That tree will survive the fire, but your house won't.
Yeah. And a lot of the trees in the, you know, the Alameda fire, you look, you know, the house is gone and the tree is burned, but it got burnt. It didn't like burn away. Mm-hmm. You know, it's full of water. You know, every species is different. I wouldn't want to live next to like those 70s, you know, 3 feet tall, super thick junipers all that fall out.
And you need to take the needles off your roof. You have to do the maintenance. So. Yeah.
Well,
I think you're on a good vein there again, Asa. I know that.
I make a motion to deny the application on the basis of there being inadequate justification for the removal. Unsubstantiated necessity for the removal.
Ooh. I'm sorry, what do you mean to capture?
What was that?
Seems unnecessary at this point in time. Give it a few more years. I don't know.
I didn't capture exactly what you said. Which one do you want me to write down?
I don't know. Which one sounds better, guys?
Right. They're both a couple of good phrases. What would you say? Unsubstantiated
necessity.
Necessity. Yeah.
An inadequate, you know, reasoning. Deny the application. Because the materials given did not substantiate the necessity of the removal.
I like that.
I would second that. All those in favor? And I think too, Aaron, I mean, if they had a statement from the FireWise official or the solar panel company or
their arborist.
Or an arborist. Yeah. Okay.
Well, I imagine we'll probably see them next month and I'll ask them to represent their application. It's always a little better when the homeowner is here to represent themselves.
If they could mark the tree too, that always helps.
I'll make sure to ask them to mark it, and I'll also inquire about
access
permission to come onto the property, because it's one of those ones where it's tough when it's in the backyard. So I'll reach out to the applicant probably on Monday, maybe tomorrow, and I'll email you all with what I find out, because I imagine they're going to want to come back in July.
Because it was odd too, because the access, it looked like it was an alley for a minute, but it was not just a long driveway and flag lot, and I got uncomfortable and walked around, turned around. But
yeah.
All right. I guess that's that, huh?
Yep, those were the four items. We're there.
Okay. I did want to touch on, and we brought this up last time, it was the election of officers, Kat, and we talked about it a bit, but really wanted you to be around for it. We can talk about this, Aaron, if it's on the agenda. We'll just throw it out there. I'm termed out as chairperson, Kat. Discussion was to keep rolling with it. Especially after getting to sit in and actually listen to you guys, when I step out and recuse myself, I kind of feel like I don't want to hog the chairpersonship, and probably termlets are a good thing. I know we've gotten into a good groove, and I don't think me stepping down from that specific role will screw that up, and would still be here. Something to think about, all three of you, but. So slip in that spot, not a whole lot of extra work. It's just, reading this, I think something to think about. I was fine with it after last week, but then thinking about it a bit and again, listening in, without me with the gavel. I think.
How do you feel having the gavel? you know, how do you feel?
I'm fine. And again, I've just gotten comfortable in it, having done it for multiple years now. Or maybe I could.
You do a great job. And I mean, I know I sure wouldn't want to do it. I said that last time, but
yeah.
I mean, if somebody else wants to do that, that's fine. But I'm really happy with you doing this, unless you don't want to anymore, you know? I mean,
there's a small part of me that doesn't want to, and another small part that kind of wants to adhere to term limits. It's kind of why we have that, and want to give an opportunity. I know, honestly, I feel like I've grown a lot doing this and was pretty shy starting and pretty unsure of myself, and it just took doing it, right? Like anything in life, like a little uncomfortable, and you write it. And, yeah, I certainly think no, Eric's not interested, but Acer or Kat would do just great with it. But I think something to think about, and if we could maybe make sure that's on the agenda for, well, maybe not next time if you're not here, Aaron, but well, I know Derek could run it too. But
there's nothing saying we couldn't have a vote now. Okay. You know, to bring Kat up to speed, last month was our May meeting, and reappointment happens officially on April 30th. And so the language in the code is that the first regular meeting after April 30th, each advisory commission shall elect chair, vice chair, et cetera. And to Chris's point, I think it was a good thing that we didn't do it because we're such a thin group already that it did seem appropriate to wait until we had you on board. I don't see any reason why we couldn't dispense with that tonight. If you guys wanted to have an election, you know, we would need a nomination, a motion, and do that. And I think we also should formalize vice chair as well. I think the correct Roberts rules of order would be if Chris were to be nominated to continue being chair, if that was the desire of the body, then the motion should include language about basically suspending the rules, because you would need to acknowledge that we are stepping out of what is in the code. There are provisions within Robert rules where you can say, well, we're suspending the rules, but that would be something to include in the motion.
Well, does anybody want to be chair? Does anybody want that?
Well, I kind of feel the same way as you, Eric. I'm happy to pick up the gavel if you feel like you'd like a break, Chris. I don't want you to feel like you're stuck in that role at all, and I'm totally happy to take my turn with that. I'm not particularly eager to do it, but I would definitely take it on as part of the joint responsibility of the commission. So really, I think you do an excellent job, but once again, I don't want you to feel like you're stuck in that at all. And I'm totally happy to pick it up if you're ready to just have a break for no other reason that you'd just like to have a break.
Yeah, I feel the same too. You know, definitely it's for me, I'm hesitant because it seems like there's a little more responsibility as far as having to talk to people and be very clear and, you know, and with code and language and stuff. That's something, you know, that I hear you saying that any of us would get better at and more comfortable with. And that's comforting to hear, but I don't feel any rush, but at the same time, it's obvious that you're bringing it up. I mean, the term you're bringing it up, it feels like for a reason. And I respect that. And so I think like, well, maybe we should, you know, do something. Kat, I think you'd be great at it. You know, I think you're well-spoken. Think I would be okay at it.
And, you know, we've,
I'm more punctual than you are, Ace.
Yeah.
And we could start the meetings on time if it was me. That would be my only edge, honestly.
And we also don't need to feel like we need to address this tonight. We've kicked this can down the road for some time. So if y'all want to, you know, I can put it on the agenda for next month and we can discuss it then too.
That's what I would like personally.
Well, what's going to change between now and then?
Yeah, well, I mean, what I think we can probably resolve this in the next 5 minutes, but, you know.
For me, it all depends on Chris. That's what I think everybody's saying. No one wants to see you go, oh, man, I'm tired of doing this, you know. And maybe, like Asa said, maybe that's there. And that's the main thing here. I think.
And I don't feel that strongly that way. No. It would help having at least a solid vice chair that.
I would totally be the vice if that would help. I would need to get that little piece of paper that you always read from. I haven't been a vice chair of anything ever in my life, so.
Well, you know, do good. I'm ready
for it. Person in training, but yeah, no, I'm happy to do that if that takes whatever pressure off, okay. And if that alleviates any concerns you have, would that be a good solution?
It is, and
can we vote on that somehow? Is that how do you do? What do we do?
Yeah. So
or
there should
Asa,
be.
Did you want to throw your hat in for vice, or are you?
Well, I don't. What's so? Because like when Chris steps out, I assume the one that kind of takes over that position. So, have I been the vice, or have I been just the second seat chair? Something?
I don't believe we've had a formal election of a vice chair in the time that I've been staffing the commission.
We've just been winging it for years.
But as far as procedure would go, is we would want to have a motion to a nomination for the chair, and a vote on the chair, a nomination for the vice chair, and then a vote.
I have an idea, guys. What if we nominated Kat? Kat, you could try it out, and we could reassess it at any time we want. I mean, it's not like we have to do the term limit thing, right?
That's correct. It serves at the pleasure of the advisory body, so at any time a majority vote can change it.
Okay.
Yep.
Why nominate Kat to be the certified vice?
I just want to give Chris one more opportunity to just – like really totally if you want to just step down for it, it's really, and I'm not saying that out of any ambition whatsoever. I just know what it's like when you get stuck in a position, and I want you to just feel really good about it.
I appreciate that. And I think too, it's not that big a deal. If I do, I just show up 1 month and say, I'm tired. And we can adjust that.
Please do. When you are tired.
I mostly wanted to get out of the way, just hearing you. Honestly, Asa, I think it would be an awesome opportunity for you to race to that next level too. And maybe showing up on time and just you handle the gavel very well. And I think you could step into that growth spot as well. But so something to think about for the future.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah.
All right. Okay.
All right.
Well, we have a motion. We don't have a second yet.
Not a second.
I'm sorry. So we're voting on Kat for vice, right?
Yeah.
I thought that Asa was putting forward a motion.
Yeah, that's all in favor?
Well, that was a nomination, right? I mean, is that a motion?
It's a motion to nominate, and then it was seconded, and so now we're to the voting.
Because everyone can, everyone can try to nominate everybody else, too, you know? But yeah, that's my nomination. I'd like to nominate Kat to be
nominated by Asa, seconded by Eric. All those in favor, put the show of hands, please. Aye. Aye. Thank you.
Woohoo!
All right.
That was easy.
We have to vote
campaign manager a bonus.
Do we have to vote on Chris again?
Let's go ahead and just do it just for the sake of doing it. So, someone go ahead and give me a motion.
I make a motion to confirm Chris as the chair of the committee going forward.
That's second.
Cool. Vote.
Oh, yeah. All those in favor?
Okay. Thank you very much, guys.
Okay.
There are some benefits to having a small, nimble organization, isn't there?
Take hours if we had more members. So,
my god!
Anybody else?
And that's the thing.
Give me Kenny's phone number. You seem like a nice guy.
Yeah. And Chris, you've been doing this longer than any of us, and it's sort of like if you were to step out, that'd be like, holy F, you know, now where are we?
But sometimes the old guy stepping out, the void gets filled and you never know where it's coming from. So I don't want to be that old guy.
But you wouldn't leave the commission even if you stopped being the chair.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. That it?
One And the same for any of us, you know, if any of us left, I think it would be a dramatically different feel. You know, not only would we be more bare bones, it, you know. Yeah. So, yeah, maybe Kenny will join.
Well, when I talk to him, I'll put that bug in his ear and point him to the application page.
It's a I believe, like, you have to ask someone three times for them to feel that you're sincere in your request. So,
okay.
Chris, if you follow up with another query, that's three times he's been asked. If it doesn't answer yes, then I did write a letter to the editor in the paper just asking, you know, if there's anyone who loves trees and is interested in serving, we'd love to have them on board. So that's another way that, you know, if any of you want to do that.
Did it get in the paper?
I don't know. I don't have a subscription. So.
Thanks for doing that, though. That's great.
Yeah.
I've often thought of that, but haven't done it. So
I have friends that I keep bugging them about it, but I haven't quite gotten them on board yet.
Well, I will miss you all in July and look forward to seeing you in August.
Have a great holiday, Aaron.
Thank you.
All right.
7:22 adjourned.
Sounds good. Bye, guys.
Good night.
Bye. Bye.
See ya.
Thank you.